Friends, roadies, countrymen, and all you great listeners to my podcasts from all over the world, this is John Edmund again, podcasting out from the heart of South Africa. This June, I've been hosting guests from all over South Africa on a wide range of subjects pertaining to conservation and wildlife. This week, my guest is a very special conservationist called Adam Cruikshank. Actually, Adam was born in Zimbabwe, so I could actually say he might be one of my countrymen. But Adam is now in the Natal province of South Africa. As we all know, Natal has suffered the most devastating floods this year, and the loss of life, damage to the infrastructure, and also to the environment has been tragic. But the resilience of the people is remarkable, and Adam is one of those great resilient folk. He's based actually in the Amanzimtoti, on the upper south coast of KwaZulu-Natal. And although he is a great all-round conservationist, his passion is birding. Adam is the founder of an online platform called The Birding Life. Now, The Birding Life not only helps people discover the magical pastime of birding, but looks for ways to create awareness about conservation. I'm so pleased to have Adam as my guest today, and would like to thank him for telling us his remarkable story of how he got into birding and how it changed his life. Over to you, Adam.
2016 was one of the most difficult years that I'd ever experienced, and I was about to start a journey that I never, ever thought I would have started. Hi, this is Adam, and I'm the host of the Birding Life podcast. I'm going to share a little bit about my journey and why I am a birder. Before I started birding, or birdwatching, as some would say, I had this idea of what birdwatching was like. And dare I say, it was an image of a bunch of old folk sitting in a bird hide with binoculars, wearing safari suits, long socks, and it was definitely something that I never, ever thought that I would do. But how wrong I was. So like I said, 2016 was a very difficult year. I went through, well, sort of, we can say, a bit of a midlife crisis. But on top of that all, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. A few years before that, my father had become another South African crime statistic when they tried to break into the house to steal the TV, and at about 4 o'clock in the morning, he was murdered. So my mother being diagnosed with cancer was really, really difficult for myself, my sister, and our family as a whole. And the thought of losing my mother at such a young age was really scary. As a person who believed in God, I prayed and I cried out to God. I did everything that I knew what to do, but nothing changed. Every time we went to the doctor, every time I took my mother to the hospital, it just seemed the diagnosis was getting worse and worse and worse. Her body was wasting away in front of our eyes. She was in pain, and she wasn't the person that she used to be. My mother, growing up, let me say, she was an awesome person, but she was feisty. She was a fighter. She always made sure that she had her say. And at the end, it was just like my mother just gave up. She was ready to go. She had had enough. But this didn't make it any easier for our family because, honestly, we didn't want to lose Mom. We loved her, and her death would have meant a big void in our heart. And we kept on praying, kept on trusting. But like I said, nothing was changing. In the middle of this, through some bad choices on my behalf, I ended up going up to a friend in Johannesburg, and I was probably at the lowest point of my life. I honestly just wanted to give up. I could see no way out. There was no hope for tomorrow, and I just wanted to end it all. Let me be honest. I just wanted to end it all. Anyway, I went for a weekend up in Johannesburg, went to a church, went for a weekend where there was a course on, and I just was able to deal with issues in my own life, deal with some insecurities and things that I was bottling up and things that I had to process. And on the Monday morning, before I was about to fly out, my friend had this bright idea, and he said, we're going to do something that you may not enjoy, but we're going to give it a try anyway. Anyway, the night before, he kind of explained that we were going to go do something called birding. And we were going to go up to a place, I think it was called Slangvach or something. I mean, for somebody that wasn't a bush person, to go to a place called Slangvach, Snake Road, it didn't sound that exciting. But worse than that, my friend told me that we were going to wake up at about 4:30 in the morning and we were going to go birding or bird watching. I spoke earlier about the way I saw bird watching and the idea and the way that I thought it was going to be. And honestly, I was not too keen about it. Firstly, I was not keen to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. And I was honestly thinking, what is the thrill of looking at birds? Anyway, my friend made some good coffee. Coffee always makes life a little bit easier. Gave me a pair of his old binoculars to use. And at 4:30 in the morning, woke up. The last thing I felt like doing was getting out of a warm bed and going birding. Anyway, we got in the car, was pitch black, and we started to, you know, drive towards Pretoria to go pick up the friend that was coming birding with us. And yeah, it was nice having a bit of talk in the morning and that kind of thing. But I still didn't know really what to expect with this birding or bird watching. Anyway, I picked the friend up and we adventurated at a place called, that road called Slangweg. And we were driving around there and he was pointing out some birds. I didn't really understand too much about it, pointing that bird, telling me that was that bird and saying, this is a nice bird we're looking at. And I was like, yeah, really cool. Awesome. Maybe just drink some coffee here. But we got to the end of one of the roads and I can't recall where the road was and I can't even recall the bird that we looked at. But I remember pointing out a bird on a line. It was a small bird. It didn't really impress me much. It was just a little speck on the horizon. And I pointed out to my friend and said, oh, there's a bird. And he said to me, look at the bird. And I looked through the binoculars and I cannot remember what bird looking for, as I said. I can't remember the species. I can't remember the color of the bird. But when I looked to this bird, it was a moment where it all made sense. And I was like, oh my word. And on the way back, I started looking at birds, started seeing what there was. And it was just like, it just gripped me. There was something about birding that just gripped me. Anyway, I got back. He gave me a pair of binoculars, which really was a big help. I bought myself a cheap camera and I came back to the reality of life. Nothing had changed. I still was facing the situations I was facing. And honestly, it was not great. But I had an escape. I was able to get out into the wild and I was able to look at birds. And I started notching up my life list. I can actually remember the first day I went birding. It was pretty amazing. I went to a place called Kenneth Steinbank, which is just south of Durban. And I had this little point-and-shoot camera, like they call Mik and Druk camera. And I saw a bird in the tree and I didn't know what bird it was. And I took a picture of it and I kind of came home and my friend was helping me with all the identifications. I sent him the photo and he was like, oh my word, do you know what bird you're looking at? I was like, oh, I don't know what bird I'm looking at. And he said, you've got a photo of an arena trogon. The first day I went birding by myself, I got an arena trogon. Now, if you don't know what an arena trogon is, it's one of the most beautiful birds that we get in the region. And I got this bird in the open, and it's a bird that's hard to find, hard to see. Birders spend many years trying to find arena trogon, and I got to see it on the first day. The thing what I realized was my mother still had cancer, but I'd go spend time on the water in the morning, go spend time with her. And in the break, I'd go out and I'd look at birds. And like I said, nothing changed. The situation remained the same. But what did change is when I was looking at birds, when I was looking at the birds in the line, looking at the birds that I was getting to see in the field, the truth is it was a moment of distraction. It was a moment where I was able to take my mind off of what I was facing. And I was able to just reset for a moment. That I can honestly say that along with my faith are two of the things that helped me get through that time. My mother's body continued to deteriorate. She withered away before our eyes. She got to a place where she couldn't, you know, she couldn't walk herself. She was in a wheelchair almost permanently. She ended up in a hospice center and she was withering away before our eyes. And the only thing that got me through the season was that I could get out and I could take my mind off what was happening. My mother passed away. My mother passed away later that year, and it was really difficult. My heart was absolutely shattered. But you know, the funny thing is, and this is really what blew my mind, I had the opportunity to go to Kruger, and I remember we always spoke to my mother about going to Kruger, and it was something we always wanted to do, and we never got to do Kruger together as a family. But there was a moment when I was chasing birds, and I was able to get a photo of a giraffe. I know it's not a bird, it's a mammal. Before you tell me it's not a bird, but I got this picture of this giraffe in the Kruger National Park. And, you know, the thing is, my mother loved giraffes. And it was almost like being in Kruger, chasing after birds and seeing this giraffe was a connection between myself and my mother. When I was able to post that picture, it was almost like the picture was done in memory of her life. Also later on, I'd be able to get pictures of Buffalo. And I remember that the squadron my father fought in the Rhodesian War was this connection between the world I was in right now and their world. That is why birding has been so amazing. It is the birds. It's being able to get the birds, get out into nature, but it's an escape. It really refreshes the soul. It allows you to reset. It allows you to focus on something else than the trouble you are going through. Birding has allowed me to go to places that I never thought I'd go to. It's allowed me to meet people that I never thought I'd meet. And it's allowed me to enjoy the beauty of nature. I want to encourage you, if you've never tried birding, get out there, give it a try. It's absolutely amazing. If you want more information about birding, be sure to pop onto our website, www.thebirdinglife.com, or drop us an email at info@thebirdinglife.com. We'd love to give you some tips and advice and help you get started on this journey. Until next time, be blessed and happy birding.
Thank you, Adam, for sharing your inspirational story and your journey into the birding world. Yes, birding is for everyone. And when I wrote my Tales of the Bird Watchers series, that series of stories and songs, I was on the same page as you. The series was designed to entertain, enlighten, and encourage people of all ages to enjoy another facet of the great outdoors. As you put it, Adam, the birding life. Before I sign off, folks, don't forget to like and subscribe to my YouTube channel, where you'll find some great little clips about birds like Knees Up, the Secretary Bird Song, or Kick the Wheel about the Black-Back Puffback, or Chuckle Chuckle about the Fish Eagle. There's also one about the Go-Away Bird. Anyway, check out the Birding Life website and also mine. If you want any songs about birds, there's more than 30 on most popular music platforms. There's also an album called Singing with the Birds. Till next week, folks, it's au revoir from me. Tweet, tweet, take care, tot ziens, salagashle, shalom, and most of all, zvakanaka.